All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number on the line. My good friend Billy Young from Arizona. And Billy, I will say this, and then I'll back off for a moment. There's always been Democrats and Republicans. And as I said before, yeah. You and I are the same age from the same era. I saw the same things you saw. And the impact of what has happened in our lives, and even going back to those times, you know, even going back to when I was a little boy in the 60s and early 70s, and Ronald Reagan that came even further down the line, and where we are today, and we knowing that Ronald Reagan was the first of a long list of changing the direction and trajectory of the conservative movement. And I'm not saying that it had never been good, but it certainly changed under Ronald Reagan for the worse and a whole list of them who came after him. But Donald Trump, who even made Ronald Reagan look like a choir boy. But the impact. I know the history of what Ronald Reagan did. I was, you know, I lived the same time you did.
He was the granddaddy, man.
I know, but he wasn't. He wasn't as vicious as Donald Trump, because the thing about, and I don't, so let me finish this point. So because of what is happening now with either you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, and there won't be any dialogue or any conversation in what is in the best interest of this nation. If you're a Democrat, I don't want to talk to you. I'm a Republican. We're in charge. We're going to do it our way. All of that kind of mentality sets up no opportunity for conversation at a time when a nation that is no longer the most outside of our economy in the military, the most powerful nation on earth, a changing dynamic that Americans, who only make up 4% of the global population, no longer these other nations realize who we are, at a time when a nation should be pulling together. We are not.
And to that you say what?
That is at the root of what the history, I mean the future.
So we have some people. We have a growing a generation of people who've checked out. They don't want to hear it, Earl. I mean, so you described the current state of affairs, and to that your response is what?
So here's my response. Whether or not a segment of the population doesn't want to hear it does not mean we dummy up and allow them to lead things down the path that they're leading them to. Well, critical race theory.
So we don't want
to deal with the truth of the history of the nation. We want to push that.
Okay.
Sweep that under the rug. You know.
So what's our next? So what's the next step?
The next step.
But here's, man.
You asked me the question. The next step is the masses of the American people should no longer and need to realize their power. Need to understand that it is a time that there has to be a mobilization of the masses of the people who are being taken advantage of. You talked about historically about the things that have happened in this country, and the people rose up, Billy. So the people are going to have to rise up again. Or at least there be no future.
The people have to rise up. All right. Good luck on that.
You don't think that's going to be possible?
Wow.
And when I say rise up, I don't mean to take on the government. We just saw people rise up on the right. They went to Washington D.C. and they did what they did, right?
And the end result of that, is what?
Nothing.
Further divisiveness. You know, I mean, some people got, you know, were punished. You know, sort of, symbolically, if you will.
Hey Billy, I'm talking about that again, and that was a small segment of the population. What I'm saying to you is the larger segment of this population is hurting both black and white, both rural and from urban centers. And at some point
Here's the deal, man. Why is it that many people do not want to sort of own, either recognize, own, or even dialogue about what you just said? Why is it? I mean, what you described really goes back to, in fact, what was the term that Mandela Barnes used that you referenced? They don't want to hear about that anymore, man. You know, when those kinds of things come up, references to slavery, references to forced labor, man, people don't want to hear it. But then you also referenced a 14% or 4% for many companies, many individuals, many organizations, many businesses, many civic leaders, many of the community. They are not talking about percentages anymore, Earl. What they are talking about is diversity and inclusion. Now, maybe in the back rooms of some of these high-end corporate entities, there's a number that they're looking at as far as the workforce, but that's not the discussion. Is the discussion is diversity and inclusion. And what does that look like? That's what you have to define. People of color, because diversity and inclusion means it doesn't matter where you live, you're not defined by your zip code nor your color. And if those people are really about inclusion, now we start some discussion.
You know what, Billy?
Economic empowerment. That's where it is.
We talked about that in the 80s, diversity and inclusion. And at the root of all of that, we're still talking about it, Billy. And it's not happening.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Well,
gradually, because I'm telling you, in my network and the people that we're talking about dealing with relative to youth and community empowerment, it is happening.
Hey, Billy, hang on. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
That you really love that band. Put yourself in Jesus' hands.